Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Blade Runner Minute, our podcast where twice a week we get together and we talk about. Fuck you.
No, leave it, because they're used to this by now. Just screw it. Where we talk about how Peter doesn't know words and I know words. Isn't that awesome?
How did that just completely fall apart? I had it in my hand.
You know why? Because we started this with me flicking your ear right before you press record.
Welcome, everyone, to the Blade Runner Minute. I'm Pete.
And I'm Sandra.
Minute 57 is what we're up to.
Let's do it.
Starts with Deckard looking for Zora on the mean streets of L.A.
Uh-huh.
I wrote L.A. I wanted to say Los Angeles, and I thought to myself, I don't need to remind myself. I'll say Los Angeles, but I said L.A.
I told you you don't know words.
It ends with Zora hiding in the crowd.
But you're cute, so it's okay.
I'm very, you're very adorable. Handsome man.
It's yes. A good thing you're adorable.
And now on to notes. Bald Terminator to the right of Deckard. Did you notice the bald Terminator?
Yes,
to the right of
with
Deckard?
The dark glasses. Who looked like he was wearing half of a nun's habit.
Sarah Connor. Called a habit?
Yes. I don't know why you don't know these things.
Which part of it is the habit? What's
called
the habit?
The headdress she wears is her habit.
How could he have been wearing? He's bald. He had nothing
I know,
on.
But his the rest of it looks like part of the nun's
gear. Oh, even the gown is called a habit?
I think it's all part of one set.
I thought just the headpiece. That's a onesie?
They wear like a robe and then they put the thing over their head.
So which part is the habit?
They usually call the whole thing a habit.
That doesn't sound correct.
I'm not Catholic and you are. Do you want to be that?
I'm not Catholic.
You were baptized Catholic.
So I can't control who pours water on my head.
Hold on. I'll pour water on your head.
You're sprinkling. Well, she just flung water at me. I got the computer, the mic. What are you doing?
It was 3 drops of water, you psychopath.
You're paying for the next mic.
We have a joint account.
There's a woman in the cab.
Thank you.
That stares at Deckard like...
She gives him the only stink eye?
She gives him the illest stink eye I've ever seen in my life.
But then smiles at him.
What did he do to her?
But then she gives him a... Because she's staring at
her. Her friend on her right.
This blonde lady is in the cab with her friend.
Cute little hat with like flowers on it.
Yes, they're probably going to a club. And he's walking...
They're on their way to Taffy Snake Pit.
And he's walking by and he's staring at them. So of course she gives him the stink eye. But then she thinks, oh, you're cute. And she gives him a little half smile. That he didn't notice as he was walking
the camera
away.
She must have been related to somebody on the crew because that camera stayed on her for a while.
It was probably the same girl dancing on the stage in a hockey mask.
Well, then they wouldn't have showed her head.
But this time they needed a face so they could use her face here and they couldn't
do
it there.
Call the hockey girl.
But he's walking through, and again, he's looking through, like, at the start of the minute, he's looking through, like, the truck cabs. Like, not the cabs, the backs. It's not the cabs.
It was like a bus. It was like a tour bus or something like that. Yeah.
But he's looking through it to try to see her. And he sees this woman. The woman gives him the stink eye, right?
Yeah.
And then in the background, you see Hare Krishnas.
Hasidic Jews.
And a religious Jewish man. And he's...
I can call them Jews. You're Jewish. You're married to a Jew. I can call them Jews.
That's not how that works.
I'm pretty sure that's how that works.
Not how that works.
I have 3 little Jew kids. You're my Jew wife. What's the problem? Is that not appropriate? I'm not supposed to say those
things? No, you're not supposed to say Jews, because it's kind of derogatory.
No, you said Jews. That's not nice. I say Jews.
No.
You can say Jews. You can't say Jews. You can say Jews, but not Jews.
No, it doesn't... That's not the rule.
What is that called? Inflection? It's all about inflection.
No.
I'm pretty sure it is.
It's not.
Anyway.
It's not. Anyway, I wanted to talk about how they've had nuns.
Yeah.
The Communist Manifesto people.
The Communist Manifesto people, yes, the guy that he shoved into the cab.
The Imperial officers.
Right, or the Imperial, dignitaries.
Dignitaries,
Imperial dignitaries.
Hare Krishnas.
But did I say Imperial delegates last episode?
You may have.
I meant Imperial dignitaries.
You don't know words, though. We've established that at the beginning of this minute.
Well, I'm a delegate, okay. So I just think delegate.
Anyway, Hare Krishnas, nuns,
are
punks.
They just Hare Krishnas?
Those are Hare Krishnas that we see, yeah, with the orange garb. Could have been Buddhists. I'm assuming
them,
Hare Krishnas.
I called them monks.
Okay,
they could be Buddhist monks,
but I feel like they're Hare Krishnas because monks don't normally walk around in the city streets chanting.
Unlike you, I am culturally and religiously sensitive when describing people like Hare Krishnas, Buddhist monks, Jews, and I think that's my strength that in my character.
Do you want to give me credit for not laughing during that whole little speech of yours? Look, I kept a straight face.
The walk signal. well, on these streets, that, on these Los Angeles streets, are freaking me out.
That they shout at you, walk.
Cross now.
Cross now. Walk. No, cross now. I thought they said walk now.
I heard cross now.
I thought they said walk now. Anyway, they're shouting at you. Because there's some in the city where we live that if you push a button, it makes a sounding. And it'll go beep
at you. No, later on is don't walk. First it says cross now,
cross now. I thought it was walk now.
Walk hard.
Okay. But in the city, we do have some intersections near the Institute for the Blind that are sounding ones that they make a beep.
Yeah, I've heard
for
that.
For when you can walk.
Right.
Because, so I guess it's the same thing. Like,
what are the monitors for? The TV monitors facing in every direction that don't even work. There's snow on them.
Because everything sucks.
Why did he retrofit all these existing things with broken things?
Because it looks more techy.
There's a car later on.
Very world building, man.
I don't think it's in this one. I think it's in the next one.
It's a lot of world building, but...
He's got a thing on top of it.
He wanted it to look techy.
It looks great.
He wanted it to look techy.
I wasn't criticizing, by
but
the way.
But he has all these different religious figures. I guess he's trying to show how multicultural the future is.
But why are they still there? Okay, multicultural was my first guess. And then later on, I started thinking... Actually, in the last minute, I started thinking during the episode, these are the people that stayed behind because they don't believe in...
Maybe they're trying to save who's left.
Or, yeah.
Maybe they're trying to save who's left. But why is the Hasidic Jewish guy only going... is the only one by himself? Everyone else is in pairs for religious...
I don't know.
Everybody else has, like, a partner in crime.
You look upset by this. Are you okay?
It just dawned on me. I was like, why do they got to make him the loner?
Why? Why are you worried about him, though?
Just sad.
Because you're a Jew.
First off, I'm not that kind of Jewish because I do eat bacon on a regular basis. I just had a turkey and cheese sandwich.
I just like messing with you. I just like being an ignorant jerk that messes with you.
I know, because you think it's funny, not because you actually feel that way.
No, I don't think it's funny. All right? I know comedy, Sandra. All right? I came in this fully confident. The walk signal's freaking me out. It's insane and confusing. Yeah. I don't know what the TV monitors are for.
They also it's was someone with a gas busy. Mask.
Yes, I saw,
like
them.
I saw them.
I've seen them a couple times. Since Animoid Row, I've seen the respirators. It's way too busy and scary. I don't want to live here.
I remember the word I wanted to say.
No wonder the rich people built their high-rises and their temples and their pyramids, and they stay all the way on the top above the muck.
Yeah, who wants to be in the muck?
Go ahead. What did you want to say?
He tries to shoot her through the truck bed. That was the word I was looking for. That's the bed.
Yeah, it looked like he does. The truck bed. Spots her.
And he tries to shoot her through it.
Does he point at her?
Yeah. But she spots him and moves too fast, and there's a lot of people. He keeps positioning his gun, and we have it in the next minute.
It ends with shots of Zora hiding, and I wrote, talk about busy city.
So he gets on the bus, and he's looking through the bus for her to try to find more like a path of which way he went, because otherwise, how would he even have, like, this place is so busy. I don't even understand how he would begin to figure out in which direction she went. Usually in chase scenes in movies, you can see the path a person took because everybody's all disheveled on the ground. Oh my God. There isn't any of that here. So how did he even know which direction to begin to look in? Like, there was no signal. There was no cue. Everything looks the same. It's madness.
That's a great question, though. How did he find her?
There was so much happening. She could have hopped on one of the buses and moved that
high-tailed
it out of there.
More importantly than how did he find her, how did she not get away?
Yeah.
Which is the same
because question. She stayed in one spot.
Yeah, but how? That's what I'm saying.
If she had ducked low and moved, she would have gotten away.
That's what I mean. She's supposed to be intelligent too. What was her intelligence? Didn't she have a level? Do you remember what it was?
She would be A, physical A, mental B.
Leon was a C, or less.
He was a C, I think. Baddie is an A.
She's quick.
Jessica,
Why would she think it's a good idea to just say, is she hunting him the same time he's hunting her?
I don't think
so.
Did
she lure him out
there? No, because of later events, I don't think so. No.
I think she lured him.
No, I don't think so.
Because it sounded like I said lure, but I know the difference between lured and lured.
No, I don't think so.
Don't touch my beard comb.
I like it.
Put my beard comb down.
I have to keep my hands busy.
Put my beard comb down. Rub my foot.
I don't want to rub your feet.
Not in that way. Just keep your hands busy, you just said.
No, because if I touch your feet, you kick me.
Don't tickle my feet. That's
anytime anyone touches your feet, you kick me. You kick.
I think she lured him outside.
I don't think so.
Yeah, and she's waiting. She's
so.
Waiting for him to be spun around
so.
In the crowd. She's gonna go and strangle him with his own.
No,
tie
I don't
again.
Think so.
Well, all right.
Because she doesn't look like she's looking for him.
Yeah, she was just kind of looking up.
So when we see her hiding Very casual looking face. She's just like trying to blend in with the crowd, because if you look scared, it changes the way the crowd moves around you. Mm. It's like crowd dynamic.
And he'll notice that.
So she's like casually hiding. I thought it was like at the side of the building, like just leaning up against the side.
So like she was down in the stairwell on the way to like a
subway. I didn't notice it was a stairwell until the next minute. This minute, it just looks like the side of something.
Well, I see like people walking behind her that look above her.
I didn't notice that.
Look like they're above her. So that's what I noticed.
I didn't notice them moving in and up or down. It just looked like the side of a building at first. It was in the next minute that I realized where she was. But if you're looking for him and you're saying that it's stairs, that is not an easy place to get out of quickly to go find him and finish myrtillating him. Is that the word myrtillating?
Correct. Myrtillate.
Okay. So you can't myrtillate someone when you're on stairs or, with people going in two directions.
Or myrtillate. Mightily.
Also, it would be weird to be hiding on a stairwell because you change the flow of pattern. You're like a bump.
She was too. She was in people's way.
Yeah, so they have to go around you, and that would be the way to spot someone. But how did they even know which direction to look? There was thousands of things happening around them. It's so sensory overload.
Because movie.
Because movie magic.
Because movie.
Because movie. Because movie.
I'm reading the Future Noir book.
And I want to read it.
The updated one. Mm-hmm. I've been reading it for about a month, so I'm about four pages in.
Four and a half. Why?
I'm a very strong reader. And I read.
Can I read it on vacation and I'll be done with it by the time we come back?
I'll bring it with us, yeah. And I read that, first of all the info we get on Amazon with the X-ray is wrong.
Okay.
Everything. And I'm getting a little sick of it. I'm getting sick of Amazon, X-ray, Prime Video, Bezos. Yeah, all of them.
Don't say that.
Washington Post.
She can hear
you. I'm sick of all of it.
She can hear you.
I'm done. You hear me, Alexa? I'm done with you. And anyway, X-ray told me that some weird, convoluted story of why he had this haircut, Harrison Ford did, have this haircut for this movie, and something to do with a hat. And I mentioned it in one of our previous episodes, and reading the book, Future Noir, The Making of Blade Runner, and it's really simple, and you said it, and it's the most obvious answer. He had the hat from Indiana Jones. He was wearing it to meet Ridley Scott to talk about this movie, and Ridley said, damn it, I wanted him to wear a hat for this movie. I can't have him wearing the same hat. That's the exact same fedora I wanted him to wear in this movie. So Ridley Scott made him get a haircut,
because
he
still
had his long Han Solo hair. You said it, I didn't, because I was following X-ray.
That's
you
were
like it would. You said, again, correctitude in the Nolly, said he probably just didn't want him to wear the hat. They probably just didn't want him to wear the hat because he just wore one.
What was the story on X-ray?
That he had to get he didn't want that Harrison Ford didn't want to wear the hat, so instead he went and got a conventional haircut. It doesn't even make sense.
Is that what it says on X-ray? Because I would like to see that that's what it says on X-ray. Because I think you are misremembering it.
No, that's what it says on X-ray.
Do you double check that?
No, I don't need to.
I think you should double check it.
I'm not going to double check it.
I think you should double check it because I don't think you know things. I don't want to check it right now.
Check it on your nifty little device. It's a really good book, actually, Future Noir.
I want to read it, and I would read it in a fraction of the time.
I didn't know how deeply involved Dustin Hoffman was with the beginning
of
the
casting. Yeah, that's why I said he was like, for Deckard, he was the guy. He was the dude. Which wouldn't have made really sense, because he was like shorter in stature, like he's just a smaller man. He's more like that you don't see him coming.
Hampton Fancher agrees with you. He didn't agree with it from the start. He says, you get Dustin Hoffman for this, and I'm out. And the next thing he knew, he was meeting with Dustin Hoffman at Dustin Hoffman's.
Not that I don't love Dustin Hoffman, and I don't. No, I think he's a fantastic actor. He kind of, you know, that scene in Devil's Advocate where Al Pacino's like, "You never see me coming."
Right.
You never see Dustin Hoffman coming. But when I think of the Deckard role, I think of someone that handsome and dashing, and
well, that's
the
because
stereotype.
The guy in the role is handsome and dashing.
But I feel I would think that this, if they're trying to make it like an old school detective movie, which is kind of very noir, the way they had the voiceover originally and stuff like that, you want that guy. And Harrison Ford looks like he was picked up from that time. Like Holden would have looked the same way.
Right.
Like you pick him up and you put him in this time, and it would
Robert
work.
Mitchum, the original.
It would have worked, but Dustin
Desire.
Hoffman
would have took it in a completely different direction. I don't want to sit here and say, oh, it doesn't have to work because he's totally different.
No, because Harrison worked, so we don't need to debate if anyone else would have worked.
Right. But then we mentioned in a previous episode Christopher Walken playing Roy Batty. Walken was considered for Deckard.
Mm.
Walken is Batty, however.
Oh, because he's the right type of crazy.
I'm a big fan of what Rutger Hauer did with Roy Batty. But you put Christopher Walken in that role, and I don't know, man. That's a game changer.
It would be another form of magic. It would be a little different, but Walken does a good crazy.
Yeah.
He does a more subtle crazy.
Yeah.
Rutger Hauer does it just straight crazy.
I don't know if the facials or the physical acting would have been the same. Rutger Hauer, those final scenes.
Well,
running around in his
underwear, howling.
Christopher
Walken is a professional dancer.
Pretty masterful.
He's a professional dancer, so he knows how to move.
Oh, yes, he is. Of course he is.
And it always takes you by surprise when you see him dancing, right? You never expect him to move that way.
What was that, a Fatboy Slim video? Or what was the band that he's dancing for like 4 minutes?
But he's danced in other things as well.
Okay.
And he was like the male version of America's Sweetheart, like the upcoming pretty face.
When, around the time like Deer Hunter came out, probably?
Yeah.
Okay,
He was the pretty face.
I could see that.
You know, Natalie Wood, the whole thing. Like
on the boat?
He was a pretty face.
Yeah.
So I could totally see him doing Roy Batty. It would have been different, but I could totally see it.
You know who else could have done Deckard and completely changed it in a different way than Dustin Hoffman would have changed it? I just watched The Conversation.
Oh, Gene Hackman?
With Gene Hackman.
You want Gene Hackman
and
in everything.
And I forgot how powerful Gene Hackman's acting is. But especially back in the Conversation is from 74.
He's another one that takes you by surprise.
God,
you don't expect
it
to be so good.
This guy, Gene Hackman. I mean, I love him in Superman. I love him in Royal Tenenbaums. But I forgot about French Connection.
Really?
And all those great movies he did in the 70s.
What was that movie with the Master of Illusion and the girl and the heist that they pulled off? And it was
Heist. Heist is phenomenal.
I want to see a movie with Gene Hackman, Dustin Hoffman, Alfred, oh my God, what's his name?
Molina?
No.
Hitchcock?
No, he played Alfred.
Oh.
My mind just went away.
Jeremy Irons.
No.
That was Alfred. He was Alfred in the new ones, Jeremy Irons.
That was not Jeremy Irons.
In the new ones, the Zack Snyder DC movies.
No,
you're talking about the
Batman
trilogy?
Begins,
no,
in Bale.
That's
I didn't see the new ones with Snyder. I didn't see any of them. Yeah, see? His name.
No, but you did it. This is your fault.
This
is not
my fault.
You bewitched me. How could I forget Michael...
Michael Caine. Michael Caine.
Bolton.
Michael Caine.
All right, not Bolton. Caine.
So I want to see Caine and Gene Hackman and Dustin Hoffman make a movie together.
Blade Runner 3. Yeah. Blade Runner 2050. It's a year later.
I like these older actors. Nobody uses them.
And they find the three LAPD officers that were originally cloned, whose genetic material was used to make
these
clones.
Are they
going to
do the third Blade Runner, or they're not going to do it?
The third Blade Runner? I there's nothing to cancel. They never even talked about it.
I thought they did talk about it. They set it up for a third.
They definitely did with that underground replicant uprising army.
With the eyes missing and stuff.
Yep, but I haven't heard anything. I don't think it made the kind of money. It's like Solo. It's like the Solo effect. It doesn't make $1 billion, so why are we going to
waste our time? Has Gosling ever done a sequel?
Has Ryan Gosling ever done a sequel? He did Drive 2, Keep Driving.
No, he didn't.
He did,
No, he shut up.
Nah, I don't know. So Gene Hackman as Deckard, I would take.
Okay.
With the glasses and the little mustache.
Okay.
We're clearly out of material for this minute.
You know what it is the minute before this and the minute after this have so many things happening. And this movie was really them looking for each other. Like, he's looking for her, and he's ducking around, and he's moving his head back and forth. And then she's looking to see if he sees her, and she's trying to be conspicuous.
It's a cat and mouse minute. It's a cat and mouse minute, literally for a minute. So what are we supposed to, you know what I mean? I'm sure
there was some Hare Krishna.
There was some stuff above the walk signal. There was like a, it looked like it was in the distance, up to the right. You see some people, they look like women in maybe geishas outfits.
Kimonos?
Kimonos, I'm sorry. Geishas or in kimono outfits or something. Up in the window, like a storefront or models or... I don't know. I was going to write that down, but I don't know what they're doing. They're just standing there. So there's not a lot. for someone with my limited vocabulary to talk about.
Because you ain't good with the words.
I ain't be good with the words. So, hey, listen.
And you're really good at making them up.
We used to do 7 to 9 minute episodes.
Did we really?
Yeah, this is fine.
Wow.
How people have kept up with us after all this time.
Why would they have put up with us is the better question.
Because they are ride or die. They committed. They started listening to the first couple episodes. They're just like...
They're like, that's it?
I'm going to stick with it. Or they really, really like Blade Runner. And they just want us to hear our take on it.
Or they wanted to hear us fail at it and see how terribly we would do.
I like movie by minute podcasts because... I like movie by minute podcasts of my favorite movies for obvious reasons. It's one of my favorite. If it's Star Wars or it's Indiana Jones, or I want to hear other people's takes about this while I'm driving to work or back from work or at work. Not only to hear if people agree with what I think, because I want everyone to agree with me and make me feel good about myself. Uh-huh. But I also want to hear other people's insights and learn something new about movies.
Have you ever listened to a podcast of a movie you love that the podcast was terrible? You don't have to say names, I'm just saying.
No, never. You like never terrible, but you know, I don't know, that's a silly question.
Do they ever disagree with your thoughts and you're like, I can't listen to this because they don't agree
with me? I wouldn't care if a podcast about a movie that I loved didn't agree with, like if there was a podcast about looking around here.
You got nothing but Star Wars and Blade Runner around here.
If Infinity War, the Marvel miniature started up, if by the time they get to Infinity War, which will be in about 50 years, those poor bastards, by the time they get to Infinity War, if they think the movie's great except for that idiot Thanos and his stupid glove, that's fine. That's not why I'm listening.
Although so you would cry and die inside.
I want to hear why. That's the whole point. I want to hear their take on it. I think the biggest turnoff for a podcast, no matter what it's about, is going to be the hosts, the voices, the humor or lack of, the personality or lack of. No, we're good. I know we're good. We're just not everybody's cup of tea. We're alternative. We're the Nirvana. We're the Nirvana.
Yeah, but Nirvana blew up and everybody loved them. That's not us.
Well, the time will tell.
You know what
they didn't really get popular until he died. We have to die first.
What was the T-shirt that he that Eitan always wore? They were bigger than Nirvana. They were before Nirvana. Nirvana was inspired by them. Was it the Melvins?
It was like the Melvins. We're the Melvins. Or Tad. Okay. Yeah, we'll be the band. We'll be the podcast that people ignore until it's over with, and then 20 years from now there'll be another podcast that kind of ripped us off
after our divorce, right?
And improved upon it, and they'll love that, and then there'll be like a subculture under that that says, yeah, but the Blade Runner minute was the original, man, if you're not down with it. But we're already dead at that point. No, so it won't matter.
Why would I be dead in 20 years?
Did I say 20 years or
you said 20 years?
I meant many years.
I was gonna say after we're divorced.
Many years from now when people are floating around like Wally listening to podcasts. Wow, we stretched this turd out for longer than I thought we could.
There's like 3 minutes you need to
do. There's 3 minutes that I'm going to have to cut out, right? Well, they'll never know. I'm going to keep this part. You don't even know what we were saying, man. I cut it out. You want to move on?
Peter was just high-fiving the mic.
No, do not high-five.
The last time I did it, it wasn't a real high-five. I just tapped it.
I get so mad at you. You make me speak with an accent.
I tapped it.
Don't touch. Don't tap the mic. I'm telling you right now. That's it. It's over. It's over.
You're done. Touching the stand. You totally freaked out.
I'm going to do the crawl minute without you.
You can do the crawl. Go ahead. Do the crawl minute without me.
Thank you so much, guys, for joining us today. We're going to regroup and make the next episode about, like, 67 minutes long.
I don't even have a chunk of time that's 67 minutes long.
Stop whining.
I wasn't whining. I'm telling you matter-of-factly.
Stop whining.
Okay, just end the podcast already. Because I gotta go to work.
Don't you tell me what to do.
I gotta go to work.
Don't you tell me what to do.
I'm gonna high-five your mic again. You gotta do it. Do it. Pleasure.